You remember back in September when Equifax made the news because they got breached and hackers had all this access to your personal information? Do you remember that? You've probably moved on from the topic. The holidays happened, you had turkeys to stuff, presents to wrap, now you're in the middle of the winter. It's easy to forget that foreign entities with nefarious intent literally have all the information that they need, thanks to Equifax, to open a line of credit in your name. But they do. And Equifax is making the news this week for a variety of reasons. One, we're finding out that the hackers got even more information than initially expected. Secondly, not to get into politics, but it sounds like the investigation that the government is conducting is coming to an end. I'm not happy about that. So this week, we're talking about Equifax again. It's a callback to episode 88. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast episode 107. Let's get right into it. For those of you that don't remember, a very, very quick summary. Back in September, Equifax announced that hackers gained access to customer information. When I use the word customer in this specific instance, you, as an individual in the United States, may not have ever directly interacted with Equifax, ever in your entire life. But the likelihood is, if you have any line of credit, maybe even if you don't, they probably have access to your information and your social security number. So even if you've never directly been a customer, you're effectively the product of Equifax, and they have been collecting your information, and they had a vulnerability in their server, which was known for months. They did not patch it, and as a result of that lack of security, your information was stolen by hackers. Everybody's information was stolen by hackers. And initially, the information was thought to be limited to your address, your name, your social security number, and your birthday. Now it's coming out, and I got this information from an Engadget article by John Fingus, that the hackers may have compromised more driver license information. The additional information that they may have gotten was the host state, maybe some tax IDs, and issuing data, which, based on the Engadget article, will make it that much easier for intruders to commit fraud. Back in September, during the initial announcement, Equifax apparently stressed to CNN that the initial list of exposed data was never meant to be final. While I may be annoyed, it reasonably does take some time to assess the full damage of your incompetence and to share that information with the public. So maybe they didn't know everything right out of the gate, or maybe they didn't know how severe. But again, let's not minimize that the information that we knew was stolen in September, all of that was enough to steal a credit line. And that information is out there forever. You're never getting a new social security number unless you're some mafia informant that they recreate your identity. So how much driver license information was stolen? About 11 million Americans' data was compromised, specifically around driver's license. And that information is according to the Wall Street Journal. Also in that article, which was written by Anna Marie Androidis and Emily Glazer, 15 million British customer records were also stolen during the attack. The reason why Equifax has this additional data, this driver license data, is so they can help verify your identity. So now the hackers have another piece of information to help replicate and steal your identity. One of the things that I keep going back to, besides the fact that it's not a government agency, and yet this company seems to have carte blanche rights to everybody's information, the company did not take measures to secure and protect it. Why was all the information stored in the same place? Why did they make it easy for a hacker to get everything they needed in one shot? At least hack a couple of different systems. Make them cross-reference it. Researching this particular podcast, what's coming out is that Equifax was known to have security issues for years. Not months, for years. But we'll get to that. People make mistakes. Should someone go to jail? Should a company be brought down to its knees for one simple mistake? Of course not. What is emerging is a series of bad behavior. We're seeing the evidence of years of security neglect. There are the stories that several executives from Equifax who knew about the breach before it was publicly announced, selling off their stock. Someone should be held accountable for these problems. Those people who sold their stock should be fined. That's not happening. According to Reuters, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is currently led by Mick Mulvaney, has pulled back from the full-scale probe of Equifax. The previous CFPB director, Richard Cordray, authorized an investigation late September 2017. Cordray resigned in November and was replaced by Mulvaney, who was President Donald Trump's budget chief. I know you think I'm going to make this about Trump. I am desperately trying to steer this conversation away from Trump. Trump has nothing to do with Equifax's crappy security. Nothing. And while some people maybe want to tie Mulvaney's behavior to Trump, I do not. Not in this podcast. So I'm going to focus on Mick Mulvaney and his decisions, and I am not correlating that to President Donald Trump in any way. If you want to make that connection, do so in your own time. According to the Reuters article, multiple sources stated that Mulvaney, the new CFPB chief, has not ordered subpoenas against Equifax or sought sworn testimony from executives, which is a routine step when launching a full-scale probe. Meanwhile, the CFPB has shelved plans for on-the-ground tests of how Equifax protects data, which is something that Cordray wanted to do. Also, from this Reuters article, apparently the CFPB recently rebuffed bank regulators at the Federal Reserve, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency when they offered to help with the on-site exams of the credit bureaus. By the way, this Reuters article is by Patrick Rucker. I want to make sure I call out the author. Now, there's another part of this. It's not all about the CFPB. The Federal Trade Commission could theoretically get involved, and there's rumors that they are examining the breach, and the company may face financial penalties from the FTC. Side note, the last time the FTC penalized a major credit bureau was in 2012 for slightly under $400,000. To understand the background of this FTC and CFPB situation, I found another article from Forbes written by John Wozniak. That article better explains the function of each one of these agencies. Because Equifax is a credit bureau, supervision over it is loose. It's not a bank, so agencies like the Federal Reserve and the Comptroller of Currency, they don't directly regulate it. And they're not a broker, and they're not investment managers, so the Securities and Exchange Commission have no oversight. So again, it seems like the FTC should be the one taking charge here. The CFPB, under Mulvaney, is derailing rules to protect loan shark victims and apparently is bleeding the agency of funding. This is coming from the Forbes article. Apparently Mulvaney is of the mindset that big government is bad, regulation is bad, yada, yada, yada. But as I said earlier, and Forbes is corroborating this fact, Equifax was known within the bureaus for having major security problems 4 years ago. And that is according to Thomas Fox Brewster, an expert on cybersecurity, who was interviewed for the Forbes article. Equifax is a company that falls between the cracks of regulation in the financial industry. One of the two agencies that really should be confronting them is not. For a variety of reasons, they're not going after Equifax when there's at least rumors in a trail that this security issue that leaked almost every American's financial information could have been easily avoided, and that the company has had known security problems for 4 years, did nothing. In the subsequent months, what has Equifax done to make it better for consumers? They threw a year free proactive protection for your credit line.
Bullshit!
And apparently they developed an app, which is extremely difficult to use, but you can, in theory, turn your credit on and off through this app. If you haven't yet, I would highly recommend going through the measures of freezing your credit to ensure that some foreign entity can't open a line of credit under your name. To freeze your credit, you have to call three agencies, not just Equifax. But here's the Equifax number, 1-800-349-9960. The Experian number is 1-888-397-3742. And TransUnion, their number is 1-888-909-8872. I'll also leave the websites on the podcast link. If this podcast got under your skin, you should let your local congressman know that Equifax, they should be investigated. There should be a penalty for this because you are going to have to check your credit for the rest of your life. So Equifax giving you a couple months or year or even 2 years worth of protection?
Bullshit!
This information is never going to get put back in the bottle. Sorry if I'm getting you upset. This is the reality of the situation. The people at Equifax should pay.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.